Our reading is from the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 11, verses 1 through to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Today is a really big day for us as Christians. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. I say celebrating because as we hold our palm crosses, we're reminding ourselves of that triumphant entry by Jesus into Jerusalem. He arrived with big crowds shouting Hosanna and waving those palm leaves. However, over the next few minutes, we're going to dig a little deeper into whether those welcoming Jesus in Jerusalem that day really knew what they were celebrating. Did they know who they were welcoming? Did they know whether it was really a cause for celebration or not? And what does that mean for us? In the Gospels, including that of Mark, which we've read this morning, Palm Sunday marks the first day of Holy Week, the last week of Jesus's life. A whole one third of Mark's gospel, and actually half of John's gospel, cover this one single week in Jesus's life. Given that he lived for 33 years, and by this point he'd been performing his ministry for 3 years, that highlights just how important this last week is in terms of understanding who Jesus is and what he did during that last week. Throughout a large chunk of Jesus's ministry, that three-year period with his disciples, when he taught, healed, and brought people into a relationship with God, he avoided revealing too much about who he really was. He regularly asked recipients of his healings, for example, to keep quiet. As Jesus himself said, this was because the time was not yet right. Now, as he enters Jerusalem, he doesn't tell the crowds to be quiet. He allows them to shout, shout. And they shout Hosanna. And they shout about who he is. The time is now right. Jesus is ready for everyone to recognize him for who he is, not just those closest to him. Christ the King, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is God, King of the Jews. And from a human perspective, it all starts brilliantly. Jesus is indeed welcomed as a king. And this is exactly how a king at that time would have been approached in terms of their coronation. It's not long ago, is it, that here in the UK we experienced a king's coronation. And even if you didn't follow it closely, I'm sure we all remember something of the customs, the pageantry and party atmosphere. In this case, the cloaks on the donkey, the clothing laid on the ground, the waving of palm leaves or any leaves you might be able to get your hands on, riding to the coronation, not walking or going by boat, as was Jesus's custom. These are all traditions at the time of the Roman Empire for welcoming a new king. But what is widely known now, not on that first Palm Sunday, is that the majority in the crowd were waving their palms, not understanding at all who Jesus really was. In fact, doing so out of a complete misunderstanding. They knew their Old Testament. They understood the promises made of a Messiah, a Saviour, and they clearly recognised that Jesus was the promised one. But they were expecting a political Saviour. They longed for and believed that Jesus was going to free them from the Roman rule and oppression they were living with. They had their eyes set on an earthly kingdom, not a spiritual one. They were shouting Hosanna, but they didn't really understand what that Hosanna was all about. And Hosanna means save us. They were shouting to Jesus, save us. But they were shouting to be saved from the lack of freedom that came with corrupt earthly oppression, when Jesus was there to save everyone from the dire consequences of sin and death, which separated them from God and stopped their access to heaven, eternal life. The crowds were so fixated on what they wanted to believe that they didn't spot the signs pointing them to the truth of who Jesus really was and is. A king or other political leader would have ridden a horse, not a colt. Riding a colt was a fulfillment of a prophecy told in the Old Testament. You can find it in the book of Zechariah. And this perhaps further reinforced for the crowd that Jesus was the promised king. But they failed to recognise that a colt was an animal which symbolised peace and not war like a horse. This was Jesus declaring that he is no earthly conquering king. He is the Prince of Peace. And that means he comes to reign with love and not force. The crowd also failed to recognise that Jesus's entourage was not the elite, the military, the paparazzi, or even just the Jews. They were his disciples, working class people from all kinds of backgrounds. This was not a king who would sit in a royal palace, inaccessible to most ordinary people and lacking an understanding of the issues facing them. And of course, we can't possibly overlook the fact that the coronation procession of a king would have ended with a big ceremony, the coronation itself, the crowning, and then a banquet. What does Jesus do when he comes to the end of this ride into Jerusalem? He goes to the temple. He has a quick look around, but there's no partying. It's late. And he simply retreats with his disciples for a quiet night away. For Jesus, the human coronation event comes on Good Friday when he is hailed King of the Jews by the authorities, but not in a way that really recognised him as a king, of course, but mocking him. His crown ends up not being one of precious metals and jewels, but one of thorns. A king who suffered brutally at the hands of earthly leaders before taking up a throne better than anything that could ever be imagined, anything that could be found in a palace. His throne is with his Father in heaven. But what of the people, those who waved palms, those who shouted Hosanna? From what we know, they were either nowhere to be seen, or they joined with the crowds asking Jesus to be put to death during his unfair and undeserved trial period. Many probably even watched Jesus' crucifixion as they were public events. Very many did so, disappointed that Jesus hadn't proved himself to be the saviour they expected. Their hopes were dashed when they saw him arrested and crucified. And they were certainly no longer crying, Hosanna, save me. And yet, the suffering Jesus went through on that Good Friday was precisely so that all the people could be saved. I wonder, whenever we say or sing Hosanna or simply sing those words of praise to God like Alleluia, praise God, are we just like the crowds? Do we fail to really understand what we're saying? Or do we say them with real meaning, knowing that Jesus suffered and died to save us? Do we sometimes misunderstand what Jesus saves us from? Having to live with constant disappointment because we create in our own head ideas of how Jesus should be helping us, when actually it's bigger than anything we could possibly imagine. He saves us from sin and death. It's as simple as that. He saves us from sin and death, the permanent separation from God that we would otherwise have. So let's shout our hosannas with real meaning and understanding. Hosanna.